there are two big problems that the state faces. One is the roughly $100 billion in unfunded liability that the state faces in pension costs, but there's also a mismatch between sustainable revenues and spending levels if you look out for the next 10 years or so, which is what we do. And it's that second problem that doesn't get solved by the pension law changes. Because so much of the pension law changes were necessary to eliminate the unfunded liability gap, very little was used to reduce upfront payments to the pension funds, only about $1 billion a year. So when you take our previous estimates that the unfunded liability of the state was going to grow over the next 10 years to about $14 billion by 2025, $14 billion a year, it reduces that to $13 billion. So the state still has a big problem, and all the crowing about success is because we solved only subject to a constitutional challenge, we solved only one of two huge problems.
Current law does have a tax hike that was passed in 2011, expiring come 2015, so partially through the next fiscal year. There's a chance that that could not happen, that instead Illinois legislators may extend that tax hike or try and raise revenue in some other fashion. Would that help, or what would it mean if Illinois does not take that approach and lawmakers do put an end to the income tax hike?
Or allow it. There's no action required to do so. The same model and method that we use to make these other projections also looked at what this gap in each of the next 10 years would be with and without the tax rates declining as scheduled or being kept at the higher rates. That alone, putting aside the pension reforms for a second, eliminates about half the gap. Exactly, actually. So instead of I gave the number 10 years out, instead of looking out and seeing a $14 billion gap, if the higher tax rates are in place, we would see in 2025 something more like a $7 billion gap. But the reduction in scheduled payments from the pension law changes only reduces that gap by another $1 billion, the same billion I talked about before. So both of these things go a ways toward solving our problems, but neither of them are sufficient because we are in such a deep hole.
I hear oftentimes from legislators and particularly from candidates that are, say, running for governor, let's get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse. Not to say that there aren't nips and tucks, but Illinois has also not spent as much as it had. Shopping sprees are a thing of old, and we hear a lot from community groups that they need more money, not less. So where does this problem coming from? What is Illinois spending so much money on that other states, I just saw a report today that other states are figuring out what to do with all of their surplus cash?
You know, in some sense, it's brutal to say so, we get the government we deserve, because it isn't just politicians saying it won't cost you a thing. It's us wanting to hear that, or voters that reelect people or elect people that say the problems are so small they can be handled with waste, fraud, and mismanagement. That just simply isn't true. And you know, we like to receive government services, or you know, generally, and we like to pay lower taxes. And so you can phrase this so the politicians are the bad guys or we are the stupid guys, but it's this combination of wishful thinking and allowing a number of choices over the last decades that push costs into the future, and here we are in that future. The biggest and largest shortcoming of our past behaviors is not funding the pension costs. It allowed us to spend more on other things out of then current revenues, and that's part of the structural gap that I talked about. That was nice for us because we weren't paying for everything we got by shifting the cost onto future taxpayers. But that future is starting to be now. Somehow Illinois did this more than any other other state. The proclivities are the same. We want to hear that it's not going to cost us a thing. We want more government services, and politicians are apt to tell us that. But this reliance on this disguised form of borrowing, which is buying people's labor services with the promises of future pensions without worrying about or setting funds aside for how those future promises are going to be paid, is the major contributor to what the mess we're in. That and other time-shifting behaviors, but that's the big one.
And then finally, I believe you said $7 billion is, in a sense, the best-case scenario, putting aside arguments about what Illinois should do in terms of tax policy, but I say best-case scenario in terms of the least out-of-balance budget scenario that your predictions made given possible outcomes. What does Illinois do with that? What does it mean to be $7 billion in the red? And do you have any recommendations for where Illinois could look to cut to make that up? Or do we just continue on within a budget that is, I think most people would consider $7 billion drastically out of balance?
Go back to your earlier remarks that they've already started to cut a lot, and this has been of necessity because the revenue coming in just wasn't matching what was going out, and in particular the revenue shortfall associated with the housing and financial crisis of 2007-08 and so on. Hit all states hard, but hit Illinois especially hard. So we were, you know, spending more than we were really earning or collecting before that, and then that hit. So there have been a lot of serious cuts made, in the interim. But what I am saying is you still ain't seen nothing yet. There's more to come. As to how I would correct the imbalance, I don't like to answer that question, and because
I don't blame you.
but the first step, I mean, one is if once you propose a particular solution, then that gets all the attention, and that particular solution is found wanting. And I would like to be the one reminding us of the magnitude of the problem that we have, and it's huge. It's cuts well in excess of those that we've seen in the last several years for education and social services, or tax increases in excess of those we saw when the income tax rate went up from 3% to 5% soon to expire. I could solve the budget crisis. Any one, probably any two people, even of different budget political stripe, could solve the budget crisis, but that doesn't make it politically feasible. It's just very, very large, and I think we have to look at everything, the sales tax base, the income tax base, and what government services people have come to expect. But it is going to be tighter, whether we do it with intentionality and forethought, or whether we back into it, which is partly how we've made the cuts of the last 4 or 5 years. There's not enough, and so we don't pay.
What am I missing from your research at this point in time, or what else would you like to touch on, please?
I mean, that's it. I mean, we've been looking at this structural budget gap for the state for a number of years. And we really see this as sort of the teaching moment We've been through all these painful cuts and tax increases of the past 4 years. We just had this huge, threatening cut in the expected benefits that people were thinking they would get from their pensions from the state, and there's still a problem left. And that's the message.